Today, he's going to break some chains. He's going to break some chains that you may not understood or see. These are some of the most invisible chains. They're there, but you don't know they're there. This is the most devious enemy of all. I've been struggling with this one for a very, very, very long time, and it's taken a lot of light to see this. And it's the very key that's going to unlock the kingdom of God. Amen? Glory to God. So we're going to begin today, and I'd pay attention today on this one for certain. Hallelujah. Luke 17, verse 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." That word observation means ocular evidence. That's actually the Greek definition, ocular evidence. It's not going to come by way of the eye gate, this eye gate looking outward. You're not going to find it. You're not going to discover it. You're not going to birth it. It's not coming that way. In other words, he's saying to them, because they're asking when the kingdom's coming, he goes, it's not coming without. It's not coming out here. And if you're looking for it out here, you're misplaced. You have a misplaced, misdirected faith. And the enemy, because he knows he cannot stop you, especially those of us that are keeping his word, which should be this whole body right now. He knows he can't stop you. He knows he can't stop your faith. So his only assignment against you is to misplace your faith. And by misplacing your faith, he can stop the entire progression of the kingdom of God from birthing into your life. The kingdom of God does not come outwardly from ocular evidence. As long as you're looking out here, as long as you're looking at an event in the world, as long as we're looking for a financial event to happen, as long as we're looking for a person, or as long as we're looking for this to happen, as long as you're looking for that to happen, you're looking in the wrong place. Preach it. Look at verse 21. It's neither, he said, it's not coming that way, and it's not coming this way either. Shall they say, oh, lo, it's here, oh, lo, it's there. The kingdom of God is what? Within you. It's coming from within you. Should you turn over real quick to Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Oh, he's going to unlock you. He was unlocking me heavy yesterday. Anna and I had a function plan on the other side of the city, and I was in such intercession yesterday morning. I had to come out of that. I said, I don't know if I can go. I just don't know. We already committed to it. I said, I don't know if I can. I was under the two-edged sword. His word is a sharp two-edged sword. Wow. When it gets ready to cut, woo, it cuts out the right things, but man, when it cuts. If you've never been under that sword, I'll show you how if you want to get under it, because it's going to cut out the problem. It will cut out the problem if you'll keep it long enough. Listen to this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but you're a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir of God. You're an heir now. You operate different than a servant. You operate as an heir. He says, howbeit when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after you've known God, after rather known of God, he's talking to sons and heirs now. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements? Wherein do you desire again to be in bondage? Look at this. You observe, say observe, days, months, times, years. Now they were doing it, keeping the law. They were going back under the law because they were being taught if you want to be perfected, you have to go back to the law. And Paul said, listen, God already perfected. He already gave you the standing. You don't need to go doing that looking for perfection. But how many of us hear messages, or how many of us observe a time, a date, a year, a feast, and we say, God's going to do this on this time. God's going to do this on that time. God's going to do it on this day because the numbers are lining up. The days are lining up. And every time the feast day come around, everybody's prophesying revival is going to come because of the feast. And it never shows up.
And next year they do the same thing. They observe feast times, days, seasons, years. And when the numbers are, I just knew God was going to show up with the apostolic government on 12/12/2012. I just knew because I carried the apostolic government, he's going to birth it that day. Thank God I didn't go tell all of you said that, but I knew it inside he was going to do it. And I believed it all the way up to midnight. Then I said, Lord, it's probably still 12/12 somewhere on this side of the world somewhere. I'm going to wait until morning time. 12/12/2012 went right by. Then you got to get another date. Got to get this time. That time. All knowing because you're an heir. It's not coming by ocular observation of times, dates, seasons. It's coming from within. Because it's already finished. He doesn't need a date to release it. He doesn't need a feast to release it. He doesn't need us to observe some event going on in the world that's going to unlock. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's an injustice to the Lord Jesus Christ for God to take an event in the world to unlock a heavenly inheritance. It's not coming from the outside in. It's coming from the inside out. The kingdom has to birth from within. It has to flow from within. It has to release from within. And then it's going to transform the world you live in. Then it's going to cause the world to bow down. But the enemy, he's a sly dog. He knows how to take a part of you and me. Even after we have shown these things, preached into these things, he takes our faith and it puts it on something out here. Go over to Matthew 16. I'm going to clarify a few mysteries here. When you're under his sword, there is such a magnificent light there. It's a light and a capacity to see like no other place in the world. You see so clearly. You understand the way he understands it. You see it the way he sees it. You understand the offense that it is. You get back here and you're like, it's no big deal. What's the big deal? When there it means everything. Listen to me. We're not talking about just God's blessing coming on you. We're talking about the kingdom. We want the kingdom. Now what God will do out there is he'll put a blessing on a situation out there. You're looking out there and he'll bless a situation. All he's doing is extending the kingdom out there, but that's not the weight and the full weight of the kingdom. What we're looking is the full weight of the kingdom coming into the earth. That's what we've been after. That's what we're going to get. And we are so there right now. Hallelujah. You know you're there because God's pleasure will arise into your heart. His joy will erupt inside you. His pleasure will erupt. He's given you the pleasure to let you know you're right there. You're on the track now. You're seeing what I want you to see. When you're out of alignment, you will have no pleasure in your soul.
Matthew 16, verse 19. I will give unto you the keys, say the keys, of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God comes with keys. The fullness of his kingdom is not going to get unlocked overnight. It's going to get unlocked for those who understand you have to grow up. You know, God has two systems rolling. He has his fullness system and he has his partial system. The partial system is when he sets an anointing upon us because we don't really know how to operate in the fullness. So he puts an anointing upon us and we get to operate in a partial manifestation of that fullness. It doesn't require near the accountability, near the understanding, near the fellowship. He sticks the anointing upon us. It's on us and it lifts. It makes us great for about an hour or two. And then it lifts and you go back to who you are. The not so great, not so totally awesome person. But somebody coming in, they see you in the anointing, they see, oh, that's awesome. But he's still using flesh. So God will put that anointing on you. And right now, what we call the kingdom is God's partial operation on about 99% of his servants. And we call that the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. That's just an extension of the kingdom. God wants thy kingdom fullness. Living under the fullness 24 hour. But to do that, we're going to understand how to unlock it. How does it flow? What's in the way? The keys of the kingdom are going to unlock it. He says, whatever you bind on the earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth is loosed in heaven. I'm going to give you a little definition of that today. Because the way we see it is we see a devil and they bind you. Why does the devil need to be bound in heaven? If you bind the devil on the earth, why does he need to be bound in heaven? Heaven doesn't need to bind the devil. You ever think about that? What if you bind on the earth? It's going to be, well, if they're binding the devil on the earth, I guess we'll bind him from heaven. The earth's the earth. The devil's operating down here. Whatever you loose on the earth, get loosed in heaven. Maybe that has to do with unlocking the kingdom more than it has to do with devils. Although it does have to do with devils. But it has more to do with unlocking the kingdom and how the kingdom function operates with you. Whatever you bind is going to get bound. Whatever you loose is going to get loosed. You have the capacity to bind the kingdom of God. And that's not a good thing. Because if you bind it, it's bound in heaven. It's not going to get loose. You're going to have to go back to partial operation. We know in part, we operate in part. Whole Corinthian models will set up for the church until it grows to full age. God's trying to get us to full age operation. Whatever you loose is going to get loose. How do I bind? How do I loose? Glad you asked that question. Go to Genesis 16. We're going to look today at Sarah and Sarah's issues. Amen. We always looking at Abraham, but she had a big part to play in all that. She had the birth. She had issues too. So men, you're off the hook today. We're off the hook today. Women, I want to show you how we bind and how we loose and how you're going to have God and you're going to have a serious operation of his word in your life to break the power of binding the kingdom, because you can bind it so easy, you just don't know how easy you can bind the kingdom up. Because it's coming through you. I said, Lord, why? I look at all the years he spent getting me to this place right here. I'm like, why do you bother? I'm just one person. You do this with billions of people. The time that he invests in us to get us where he wants us to go. He'll invest a whole lifetime in us. He's always working his will and good pleasure. We won't quit. It will continue to be teachable. The Holy Ghost is going to get us there. He has put in his sight for us to unlock the kingdom of God. For the fullness of the kingdom of God, the only ones that can unlock it is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Word. It's never the kingdom, say the kingdom. Today I'm talking about the kingdom. I'm not talking about gift realm and going out there in the world and being blessed in the world, coming back in the church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the full weight of the kingdom is not going to unlock out there. If you're looking out there, it's misplaced. It's more than misplaced. It's an offense. It's an offense to the one who died. It's an offense to the one who went to hell in our place. And it's an offense to the one that received the inheritance. And you know who's offended more than all? The Father. Because the Father's ultimately the one that makes the call to unlock the kingdom. Then the Lord takes the key of David, unlocks it, and the Holy Spirit takes the living waters and it pours them out of you. He's the administrator of the waters. Now, I'm not talking about God's love for you. I'm talking about God's willingness to unlock the kingdom of God. Amen? Everyone say, God loves me. Even when I'm in the way, he loves me. Even if I never get out of the way, he loves me. He will love me regardless. Because most people spend their life in the way of God. So he obviously still loves us. But when it comes to the kingdom, he is not going to unlock the kingdom when you're in the way. You're going to have to get out of the way, even if you don't know you're in the way. Trust me on this. Trust me. Most of us don't know we're in the way. Because we come to church and say, I surrender all. We'll sing the song, I surrender. We wake up in the morning, I surrender. But there's still a part of you that's attaching God's promises to something out there. And as long as God's inheritance and God's kingdom's attached to some event out there, you're blocking him. You are binding the kingdom of God. Because you're putting your trust out there. Because the only place the kingdom of God's going to get unlocked is right here. If it is not dwelling here, you don't even have the first phases of it yet. That's good preaching. Genesis 16. Didn't Abraham look at the stars and the sand? God told him to look out there at the ocular evidence. If God told him to look at the ocular evidence, why aren't we to look at the ocular evidence? God never told Abraham the stars were going to birth Isaac. He never told him Isaac was going to come up out of the sand. He told him to look at the stars and the sand. That's going to be like your descendants. But when it came to the birth, he said, look within. In fact, he told him, not only are you going to look me in, I'm going to have you look within when you're dead in your capacities to give birth, but I'm going to still require you give birth when all your capacities are dead. You're going to have to look at a dead womb on the inside of Sarah. You're going to have to look at all your faculties are dead, and I'm commanding you to give birth inside. Say inside. He never said Isaac will come pouring out of the stars. There's probably a few people in this world that actually believe that.
Did you know that Genesis chapter 11 came before Genesis chapter 12? Is that deep? Call it the deep. The latter part of Genesis chapter 11, Sarah was barren. So when God started all the promises stuff up in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 22... all the promises he was giving was to a barren womb. She was barren before he even began the promise. I don't even think it ever occurred to Abraham that the heir was going to come through her. He already knew she was barren. Both of them knew it. And so they started working it out between them. You know the story. First thing they did, notice how they're looking outwardly. First thing he did, Lord, how about Eliezer, my servant? Perfect heir, God. Born in my house. He loves me. I love him. He's like a son to me, God. You notice what he's doing? Looking outward. Looking outward. Say outward. Looking out here for something that's only going to come from within here. God said, no, not so. Your descendants are going to be the stars of the sand. So we understand the story. Let's look at it from Sarah's viewpoint. Genesis 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. Now, they already had the promises. God's already visited Abraham two or three times in an eyewitness state. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Notice the one who was producing the Ishmael here. And Sarah, it was her idea. It's her fault. Men, we are off the hook on this one. She was a real piece of work here. We're all spiritual birthers. We're all the daughters of Zion, bride of Christ, sons of God. So today, every one of us are the bride here. One's got to give birth. And Sarah said in Abraham, verse 2, behold, the Lord hath restrained me from birthing. These promises are not coming through me. She believed God was talking to Abraham about somebody else. And she says, so I pray you, Abraham, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. Do you understand the soul's capacity to manufacture? Do you understand the trouble the soul can get in? Do you understand the soul will do this without you even knowing it's doing it? Do you know the soul has to be awakened by a light that's not even of this world? Because you don't know you're doing it.
You're looking. You're working it out. It's going to come by this financial event. It's going to come because this contract come in. It's going to come this person's got it. That person's got it. It's going to come this feast day, that feast day. It's coming because it's the day of the resurrection. It's coming because it's Christmas. It's the birth of Christ. Outward, 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 outward. She pulls Hagar in. She said, I'm going to obtain the promise by her. Abraham, obey me. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of his angel. Now notice this. Hagar, she got impregnated. Verse 4, he went into Hagar. She conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, the mistress was despised in her eyes. Now look at Sarah. Now Sarah, this was her idea. Right? I'm going to obtain these promises by the Father outwardly. I've got the perfect idea. Do you know how much trouble you get in when you do that? You don't even have to do it anymore. Under our covenant, you just have to do it from the heart. All you got to do is look from the heart somewhere out there. He's going to do it out there. I know he's going to do it. I know just it's the day because somebody said it's going to happen that day. And I know this is the day. Somebody told me this is the day of our breakthrough. I'm telling you, it's an injustice to heaven if it happens out there like that. The kingdom of God does not come by ocular evidence out there. It comes from what? Within. Only the kingdom of God within is going to break the chains without. It's eventually going to manifest out there, but it has to originate here. The blessing of the kingdom of God, the glory of the kingdom, the glory of the apostolic government does not originate without. It may take God another 25 years, but he's going to get this down through us. It must come from within. There's no other place to look. And I'm not talking about your flesh either. It has to happen within. Do you understand the soul's capacity to go without? When it ends up in a dead place, it'll start looking. I want out. I want breakthrough. You are the man. When you do that, you've just transferred the trust outwardly. Now, it doesn't seem like a big deal, except when you get into the glory. I'm not talking about the partial operation. When I got caught up into the glory, when I went up before the judgment seat of Christ Saturday morning, it meant everything in the world. And this is what he told me. He said, just like Sarah, you were binding my kingdom from within, from coming forth, because you were looking without. Whenever you look without, you're taking your faith. But here's the thing. In the morning, I keep his word and say, oh, God, bless it. Let the kingdom of God come from within. As soon as I step out of the prayer closet, I'm looking out here. I'm looking for something to happen, somebody to tell me breakthrough's there. Like God is going to originate that kind of kingdom out there. It's going to originate it here. It's going to, out of what? Your belly. Flow at the rivers. Now look what she did. Now that Sarah's plan didn't work, she didn't fess up and repent right away. She got self-righteous. She got in pride. She got in denial and blame. Look at the verse 5. Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong's upon you. This is all your fault, Abraham. I've given my maid into thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despising her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee, Abraham, because I'm the innocent one here. I am the righteous. It's your fault. Isn't that what we do? We get in trouble and blame everybody else for our own trouble. Not once did she say, I'm sorry, Abraham, our plan didn't work out. No, she said, Abraham, it's you. You are the one. You ever been there before? That's why she couldn't give birth. She didn't even know she could. God had to finally come and tell her, Sarah! He told Abraham first. Abraham fell on the floor, laughed. Then he flat out told Sarah, the heir is coming through you. And then she laughed. She was well stricken in age. He goes, not only is the birth coming, I'm turning your body clock back to the time of life. Because in the next chapter, because she said, I'm well stricken in age, I am old, shall my Lord have pleasure again. It's not going to happen, God.
The next chapter, King Abimelech wanted Sarah, a 90-year-old woman on crutches. He said, bring that grandma to me. He was a king. He's a king and he wants the grandma. He has any woman he wants. He wanted her. Well, stricken. God turned her back. He probably pulled 50 years off of her body and her countenance. Ladies, the time is to rejoice. She looked outward, look outward, look outwardly, look outward. Then it came the time God commanded her to look inward. He commanded her, it's going to come out of your loins, Sarah. I'm going to call his name Laughter because you laughed at my promise, but it's coming forth that way. At some point in time over that next year, because he said this time next year, you're going to conceive. She shifted. And Hebrews says, by faith, Sarah received creative dunamis power to conceive. It's what the Lord told me about dunamis. Are you listening to me? Those of you who have ears to hear. He said, dunamis is only added when for the birth. Dunamis has all kinds of operations. Remember that. This type of dunamis is only added when you're ready for the birth. It's the activator of the birth. He goes, the first thing you're going to have to carry is my word. There'll be dunamis for your hope while you carry it. There'll be dunamis for your faith while you carry it. There'll be dunamis for your love walk while you carry it. But dunamis that actually causes the birth will only be added when you're ready. When there's no more of looking out here. When you know and you have forever settled, it's not coming any other way than the kingdom of God within. It's not coming in any other way. Once you understand that, once the word has had its perfect place, once it's done what it's supposed to do, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, once the word has prepared you, then dunamis is going to be added to us. And the birth will come. And we're not birthing an anointing, we're birthing a kingdom. Kingdom. Thy kingdom. The kingdom come. I give you keys to the kingdom. You need to differentiate the fullness of the kingdom and what we call the kingdom right now. We have partial operations and gifts of the Spirit flowing. We call it the kingdom. There is a fullness coming like in the days of the apostles. The kingdom of God on the earth. It's coming through. Say through. It's going to come out of God's people. There's no other place for it. Out of what? Your belly flow. Out of your innermost being. Out of the depth of your spirit flows rivers. My waters within me, my fountain will be in you, a wellspring of life bubbling up. How many of us have that? When the kingdom comes, he's going to open the fountain because we understand the fullness is already there. The finished work is within you. He said the waters broke out of the temple in Ezekiel 47. You remember that? He said he broke out of the right side of the temple. Where is the temple? You are the temple. Where is Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father. Where the waters come out of the Lamb, out of the right side of the temple, the waters are going to flow out. Say, flow out. They're going to break out within. Say, well, haven't we preached this before? Yes, we preached it in Revelation. Now we're walking in it. It's one thing to preach by revelation. It's a whole nother thing to walk in it. I'm going to tell you, young people, you, sons, daughters, this is going to even astound you guys. You know, the ones that in church, oh, another sermon. This kingdom, you're going to love it. This kingdom's going to have everything you ever wanted and more. It's going to shock you when it shows up. It's going to shock and knock your socks off when it shows up. Because it's not church as normal and usual.
When the kingdom comes, it comes with such a beauty of God's glory and God's love and God's peace and God's fullness and his power and his blessing and his increase and his multiplication. It comes to astonish the world. And it's full. It fills everything, everywhere. God's trying to make that transition, that shift, but he's not going to allow the birth to happen any other way. It's going to happen God's way only, the way he designed it to happen. It must come from within. And when we look without, trust me, I know none of you think you do that. You couldn't have convinced me 4 days, 5 days ago that I was doing it. But when you get under God's microscope, I couldn't believe how much of my trust and faith was out there. On some event, some person, something happening out there, waiting for it to show up. Fall on us, God. Activate that thing. Get that signature out there. See, we're wanting that thing to originate out there. It's not going to happen. It's not going to originate outward. It's going to originate inward. Until we get the inward origination, we're not going to see the outward manifestation. We're going to stay right here in measure. We went to keep his word to dunamis right up to the end of last year. Then God took us right out of the dunamis, took us into the lampstand, right? The Lord said, now I want you to take you back to dunamis now. I said, well, why didn't we go dunamis then? He goes, my word had not been brought to completion yet. Now that my word is in fullness, I want to bring back to the activator. But that's when he started showing some things that were in the way. All right. Before that, we preached a whole series on keeping the word. The dynamics of hearing, not just the word of the kingdom. You know it. Hear the word of the kingdom. Receive the word of the kingdom. Understand the word of the kingdom. And finally, keep the word of the kingdom. When you put Luke 8, Matthew 13, and Mark 4 together, you have the four. And that's what produced the hundredfold glory. Hearing, understanding, receiving, keeping. Say keeping. So the question was, the Lord asked me, why do I have you keep the word of my patience? What is the purpose of keeping my word? Why does God have us keep his word for this enduring season? Is it because he wants to try us? Is it because he wants to see if we're faithful enough? I've already marked it. 1260 days, you're going to keep my word. On the 1260 day, I'm going to manifest this thing, and not before, not after. So stay with it. Is that why? What is the purpose of keeping his word? It has a lot of different purposes, but everything is going to be built upon it. You have to understand that. But why does he keep it? Why do we keep that word? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Listen, I'm going to tell you the number one reason why we keep his word. It's very clear. You'll understand this in a minute. Why he's having us and why the duration. Why is he having us keep it for a duration of time? What is he trying to do with that word? What is that word doing before he adds dunamis and gives you the promise? Hebrews 4. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man follow the same example of unbelief. Unbelief. So whatever they're about to do is going to deal with unbelief. Doubt in the heart. Double-mindedness. That's what Chuck said. Unbelief. It's going to deal with both of them. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. I have been under that sword. Piercing, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, discerner what? Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thoughts and what? Intents of the heart. Where's the kingdom come out of? The heart. The word, but there's things in the way, but you don't know they're in the way because you can't see. Because most of the time, a lot of times, especially when we're young, spirit and soul, we operate interchangeably between the two. And many things we think God's coming out of the soul. How many of you ever just knew God spoke to you? And you did it, and it just ended in a dead end. Broken, busted, and disgusted. And you knew it was God. Your soul manufactured something. It's very hard to discern. But as the word comes of full ages, you keep the word. It's going to begin a process of dividing asunder the two operations. It is a necessity to have those operating and being divided, because when you get the fullness, you can't afford to burst something that's not God. He's not going to let it come out of the operation of the soul, because the soul is what says, oh, let's get us an Ishmael. Oh, let's get us an Eliezer. Oh, let's go out here and find somebody out there that's going to sign off on this kingly anointing. That's what the soul's going to do. It's going to look out here. You don't know, you're looking out here until that word comes in. As you keep it and keep it, you don't think anything's happening. It's starting to divide. It's going to divide, and eventually it's going to bury and crucify the problem. And when it comes time, just like Sarah and Abraham, it doesn't take very long. It took them 25 years to get their soul out of the way. It took them 1 year for their spirit to gain the birth. My soul's not in the way. You would be a walking revival if it wasn't. Something's in the way. You just can't see it's in the way. Because nobody wants to think that there's anything in the way. And sometimes there's no capacity to see what's in the way until the word starts to cut asunder. And when it starts the dividing process and you get under the knife like that, in that place, God shows it to you. He shows it to you more than a million lights could show it to you. More than a million voices shouting at you. He shows it to you. He cuts it asunder. You understand. You weep and you cry. The depth of intercession, the depth of repentance under that kind of sword is no other thing like it. I can make people repent all day long, but boy, when he does it, you get it. See, he cycles you around. You'll see it and you get back into it. You see it, you get back into it. You see it and get back in it. But there's a time you'll see it and he'll cut it off. Once he cuts it down, there's no going back. I don't care what kind of carrots the enemy offers me out there. I'm not going to be chasing carrots. Those were some pretty big truckloads. Every time I chase. Used to do it in ministry. Chase this. Chase that. Understand this. The kingdom of God is about to show up in this place. Do you understand? I was trembling in my spirit. I felt the tremblings of heaven. I felt the pleasures of heaven. I felt the knife of heaven. I felt him cut something down he'd been working on a very long time. He kept resurrecting itself. God said, son, it's only coming within. It doesn't come by ocular evidence. It doesn't come over here or there. It's coming from within. Don't look any further. If you do, it's an insult to the one that's birthing, because he inherited it. It's on the inside of you. That word, that's why you keep it, by the way. You keep it till it divides the problem out. It's going to divide the unbelief out. And once it's divided, then your faith's going to receive creative dunamis power. It's going to activate that word, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring the kingdom of God out. That's how the kingdom births. Luke 6, verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, the company of the disciples and a great multitude of people out of Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas, San Antonio, Baytown, wherever else in the state of Texas. Where it's been raining. Been prophetic rain. Raining. God's going to rain on this state. We got it on the inside of us. It's going to come like a river. And from the seacoast of Galveston. Hallelujah. Which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were all healed. And the whole multitude sought to what? Touch him. For there went virtue where? Out of him. And he healed them all. You know what that word virtue is? And dunamis. Say dunamis. Flowed out of him. Where did it flow out of? Out. And he healed how many? That wasn't a gift realm partial operation. That was the kingdom of God. You know the first thing he told them? Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom. You know why he said that? Because rich people, not all of them, but lots of them have so much sufficiency. Why do I have to learn about how this kingdom operates? I know how to do this. I got this one. I go live my life just the way I want to because I can take care of me. That's Laodicean riches there. We have riches, wealth. We have need of nothing. We got this, God. Thank you. Thank you for your blessing and fire insurance. But then you got this other church over here. God, we cannot do it without you. Blessed are the poor. For yours is the what? Kingdom. What kind of kingdom you think is going to come through the poor? Is he going to keep you poor? It's an impossibility for the kingdom to break out and you remain poor. This kingdom is not like what you think church is. You don't come into the kingdom and go out. You live in an atmosphere of the kingdom 24 hours. It gets on you. You go out there and things happen on your behalf. Things start breaking loose on your behalf. Opportunities start breaking forth all around you. And you know it's coming out of the kingdom. I go, come and get me another drink of the kingdom. Go back out there and just let it flow. Come back, get another baptism of the kingdom. Virtue was flowing out. Dunamis power was flowing out and healing them all. Kingdom of God's coming out. It's not going to be one. Oh, he's going to activate the kingdom of God. He's going to activate the living waters. He's going to break them forth because we're getting out of the way. God, he told me that Saturday morning. He said, I am going to redefine. He gave the prophecy, but he spoke to me when I was sitting before him because I am going to redefine what you think church is. Because you don't know my kingdom, because you have not seen my kingdom in your generation. That's what he told me. He didn't say it wasn't flowing. He says, I have not seen it. He said, you have seen the partial flows of my kingdom, but you have not seen my kingdom. And he goes, you've been carrying it for 25 years, but you haven't seen it yet. He goes, but you're going to see it. And those are with you, you're going to see it. And the nation's going to see it. You're going to understand the reality of the kingdom of God. It's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you. Listen to this. This is the word of the Lord was sent to me. This was sent to me Thursday, I believe. It was right after that Wednesday night service. Listen to this. I don't know who prophesied this at another church, but they've been listening to me. That's for certain. But they sent this to me because Tim Stibble sent this to me. He said the Lord woke him up and said, he goes, I want you to send that word. This is for this body here. He said, surely I present you holy and without blame, says the Spirit of grace. I'm presenting my work, my finest work, when I made you the new creation that you are. You will walk in the power and the demonstration. For my Father says the Spirit of grace will confirm the word of his inheritance, and that all men may know that the Father's house, a Father's house, is open to all. Now, I know when they prophesied, they were talking about that Father's house, but I heard it as this Father's house, because we're going to be changing our name to the Father's house soon. Hallelujah. It says, come up, come up, come up. I require of you, say the Spirit of grace, that you believe in the finished work. And the fullness will come, bringing light, illumination, alignment, healing, and deliverance to you and those around you, to this city, to this nation, and to the nations. Glory to God. For out of my temple, the waters are ready to flow. From the right side of the temple that is within you, for all this place is in you. For my kingdom is in you, says the Spirit of grace, and from the right side it will flow. First to the ankles, then to the knees, then to the waist, says the Spirit of grace. Overhead shall you go in the river of life. I will turn it to the dead sea of humanity, and all who are dead will live again, says the Spirit of grace. Out of our temple will flow the waters. Glory to God forever.